fence costs hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Like, there's a reason I'm watching it. It's because I'm dumb.
Well, you know, if you're going to present it, you don't want to present it for the first time with, like, an unsightly scab.
Tell him, Steve, Dave.
Hello, and welcome to this week's edition of Tell Him, Steve, Dave. Hey, Walt.
Hello.
And BQ.
Hello.
By the magic of electronics coming in from his home.
Yeah, I had to zoom in today.
Yeah. Nice day to zoom in, though, because it's fucking shitty as hell.
I'm pouring rain out there. It's cold. It's wet.
I don't want to go into the weather right away, but I will go into like not being crazy about being a homeowner. I got to tell you, every time I did the fucking wind, we had that strong wind the other day.
Yeah, I remember it.
Blew my fucking fence right over. Cracked it, broke it. And that shit's expensive.
Oh, yeah. If you weren't already, having a problem with too much, too heavy of a pocket with cash, I would say get out of the TV game and get into the fencing game because that's where the money is. A fence costs hundreds of thousands of dollars.
No, I know. I put a fence around my whole, property and then like some brick and stuff. And it was like more expensive than. It's landscaping will get you every time, man.
I couldn't have shit. Like a vinyl fence, stockade fence is like half the house. It felt like
it's cost crazy,
it.
Right?
I'm just like, what are you doing? You're not building a moat and filling it with alligators and building a drawbridge that's going to keep out Kong and what are you making?
And the worst part is, it's like it's not even that hard to do. Like you could probably learn to do it and save yourself a ton of money.
Oh, it's hard. Like, it's hard. Back break and work there. You got to fucking pour cement.
I don't mean like that. I mean like you could do it. I think you could learn how to do it, and you could watch a YouTube thing and throw up a fence.
You know that fence would not last a day.
fence that I put up. Fucking put the post in, you screw the plastic parts together, it's all set. Save yourself $100,000.
The only way I'm attempting to put up a fence myself is if there's an expert fence guy right next to me, or like Edgar, or somebody who fucking knows what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like I went to get my oil change yesterday, and it was like a YouTube video that was up there about how to like put putty on the side of a car and do this and that. And they're like, and then just do this, and then just do that. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, it looks impossible. Like,
I can't do any of this.
Yeah, I can't do any of it. I couldn't smooth the putty to how they had it. I couldn't put the fucking fender on how they had it. It's just like, why does everyone in these YouTube videos act like there's a reason I'm watching it? It's because I'm dumb and I don't know how to do any of this
You're not dumb.
So, like,
you're
I just, need a step by step, like you're little, not, little half steps.
You're not handy. I'm not handy.
No.
And you gotta like remember that and not be so hard on yourself. Have you guys ever called in somebody, a repairman or some sort of serviceman, and the guy has shown up and it's somebody you knew from high school?
Almost every time. That's all I do is hire people I know.
Oh, I didn't. Well, like on purpose though?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I didn't do it on purpose. So when the guy came out to put my fence up, he was a guy I knew from high school. And I was like, cha-ching! He's gonna fucking hook me up.
I kind of knew you.
We talked, I think, in 1985 in between class because you needed homework or something. Or
you were telling
homework.
Me your dream to become a fencer and help friends.
And it did not work out how I thought it was going to work out. It did not parlay into a nice, sweet discount.
That sucks. I have had firehouse guys work on my house because, they all have side business and stuff. And like they try, they'll be like, dude, because we're all friends. I've gone and helped them on shit. But then that's like I feel guilty. So I just pay them what I think they should get anyway.
Yeah, because I think it's harder for you because, you're on TV. It's like. How on earth do you just like, how do you not feel a little guilty about trying to get like cut corners here and there? But when this guy came over, this was pre comic book, man. This is like early 2001 right. or something. So I thought like, that Henry Hudson Brotherhood was going to help well, me deal.
None of Q's friends can walk into his house and take seriously Q's like, yeah, I'm a little short this week. Any chance you can help
me? Yeah, but it's fucking bullshit because it goes the other way too, because like they'll do work. And like, you know, sometimes you hire firemen, you get firemen work. You're drinking beers, having pizza, you're talking gossip all fucking day. I'm like out there mixing cement with them and shit like that. And then like a year later, like it's fucking chipping. And then then you got to do the thing where it's like, oh man, should this be happening to the cement? You know what I mean? That thing of like, mm-hmm. where it's like, where if it wasn't my buddy, I'd be like, dude, what's going on? Like, something's fucking work. So I've actually had to hire a separate company to come in and fix the work that my friends did because I was too embarrassed to call my friends and be like,
"There you go, that's what I'm talking about." Yeah. It's like you're in a difficult, precarious situation with your your career and everything. You can't.
I know. Why didn't they think of me?
It's so difficult being BQ.
It's hard, man. It's fucking hard.
My cement's chipping over here. It's sloughing.
Well, if we're going to discount every problem I have just because I'm on TV, then what the fuck am I doing here?
My cement's chipping. Why don't you make a fucking TV show about it? Yeah, oh, there was it's just like not being a homeowner is like that. I wake up and the fence is destroyed. It's somebody else's problem, and that's what I love. But like around the house, every fucking time I turn around, there's something that's my problem.
I'm shocked that your fence would, because you have a lot of other houses, trees to block that wind.
Mm-hmm.
Over where I'm at, though, I mean, there's nothing.
It comes like right off that water,
It comes right off. So, so my fence also broke. My fence broke a while ago from the winds, but that fence stood there since 2001.
Wow.
And it finally cracked, and we still haven't gotten it fixed yet. We just put I got some cinder blocks. And I put it up against I wedged it up against the part that's kind of opening, and we just want to make sure socks stays in. That's all.
Right.
So we don't care.
That's my level of fixing shit too. It's like if I pile up enough stuff next to it, maybe it won't fall.
That's why you got to get the fence with the chain link fence, because mm-hmm. the wind goes right through it. You'll never have to worry about the wind taking a battering on your fence then.
Yeah, it's not a bad idea.
It doesn't look as nice.
I was going to say, it doesn't look as nice as the white vinyl around the pool, like a chain link fence. But I don't know. It was disappointing. Mary Beth's like, did you look outside? I'm like, no, what? Like as if it's supposed to be something good or something I'll be excited by, not like, what the fuck? Because at first I thought, dude, I'm going to get killed, I think, because like, all my trees have like this green stuff on the bark, and branches just fall. I mean,
that's not good. Yeah,
dude, it's insane. Fall in your house. Yeah, I mean, forget the house. I'm like, the dog's gonna get squashed, or Mary Beth, or worse.
You gotta get a tree guy expert out there.
Now I gotta get a tree guy. The trees ain't cheap either.
They might recommend cutting some of them down, and then I think you need permission from the town to cut them down too.
Right, because they're too old and big.
Yeah,
and I took some trees down. I had to get death certificate for trees. To show the city that I could take them down.
They were dead?
Yeah, you think those are cheap? And by the way, those trees were fucking healthy. All you're doing is pay a guy to come down and be like, well, I could give you a death certificate for this, and blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? It's fucking all a scam. It's all bullshit. Follow the money. Follow the fucking money. See where it all flows.
I like the idea of Q sitting alone in his basement yelling this shit. Nobody hearing him, just the cats are scared.
The cat upstairs, I kind of hear something. I'm like, what's that?
Just scurries under the couch. Fuck it.
I think the headline from after this episode drops is Q condemns tree industry.
Yeah. Q anti-arborist.
They're all crooked. That's the quote.
He has to make a public apology.
I never met a tree man who didn't try and fuck me. What do you think of that tree industry?
There is a guy who again, a person we knew from school who has a thriving tree business. You always see his trucks around our place.
Oh, yeah?
Boylan, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Boylan. He's got several trucks. So there must be some money in it, man.
Oh, hell yeah. Trees. Oh, yeah. Oh, it's dangerous work, too. I've watched videos.
Oh, like they cut it and then the tree swings down and knocks them out of the fucking sky.
Yeah, it's dangerous work cutting down trees. So, Q, maybe the next time you call in a tree guy, take in consideration.
Have a little respect for
putting our life on the line for you.
They all run that scam where it's like, well, this is the amount it is if you pay on card, but if you pay cash, this is the amount of money it is. It's like, motherfuckers, everybody's getting away with it.
Yeah, I've gotten that a couple times myself. Like, if you pay cash.
Now, why is that? Is that because Uncle Sam may not hear about it?
May not?
or is that just a myth that they definitely report all the cash transactions they take in?
I would argue that they do not. They do not tell the cash transaction. They pay their guys in cash at the end of the day. I see it. I watch it. By the way, I'm joking. I'm not really hating. Like, if I can get away with it, I would. I totally would. I just can't.
Yeah, I got my chimney cleaned last year. And it's supposed to be X amount of dollars. And he goes up there and he's like, yeah, well, the flashing's coming off, so it's going to cost a little bit extra to nail that back up. And I'm just like, I'm at everybody's fucking mercy. We're all at everybody's mercy. You just have to, like, whether it's a fucking car or your fence or your chimney or whatever the fuck, you're at somebody else's mercy.
Well, not if you were handy, though. You can go up.
Yeah, I could climb up on the roof and be like, aha!
Exactly, yeah. So you're at their mercy because – you and I should say, are at their mercy because we've spent a lifetime – me reading comics and, fucking off and not paying attention or trying to learn tasks. And I don't know what you were doing, but
I was taking drugs. I was wasting time. I was, whatever it was, I'm not handy. But you're like, I had a handy father, though. I should have grown up. Like, Darren's now, he's down in Georgia running jobs and stuff. Like, he's real handy and good at that kind of stuff.
But you were the rebel. You always were. You were always going to rebel against your dad, though. You were never going to be able to be that cat who was going to soak up his daddy's knowledge. You were always going to buck him and always, at every turn, no matter what it was.
Yeah.
That's just your nature, though.
It is in my nature.
That's that fucking rebel nature that everybody loves.
Look where it got me. Fucking destroyed fences, suspect chimneys.
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, that's where every rebel goes. You know, eventually they get broken and they realize that they were wrong and that it was their stubborn and hard-headedness.
I've made a huge mistake.
Was for naught.
Yeah, all that fighting. And it's just like, over what? Who was I rebelling against? Fucking
authority,
idiot.
Right?
Yeah.
Authority
in general, yeah. But see, that's Edgar's fault because my parents came down on me so hard when I was like much younger that like you have no other alternative but to buck authority and be like, fuck this, man.
Okay.
Or you could be a good boy.
Yeah. I was going to say, there are other avenues, not just fuck this.
I remember when I was in the firehouse, I was reading The Stand, the Stephen King book, and I had a moment of like, oh, this is cool because like if the world ended, like, and I survived, I was one of the ones that didn't die of Captain Trips. I was like, oh, I could be useful to society. I can go to a firehouse and get the rigs going and like, you know what I mean? And like help out and be like, this is it. And like now I'm just like, what the fuck am I going to do if I live in The Stand? I'm going to be like, who wants to laugh? Anybody want to chuckle? Like, anybody want to be impractically joked for some corn? Like, I'm like fucking useless.
Toilet paper.
I'm like nothing now.
But you still haven't forgotten all your fireman knowledge, right?
No, I haven't.
Or has it advanced? Or have things advanced and now you don't know the ways, the new
ways? Nah, the technology hasn't really advanced. The rules have advanced, but, you know, that shit's bullshit. Like the technology's the same.
You can't bang chicks on the back of the fire truck anymore.
Yeah, like I said.
Post-apocalyptic cue.
I just pull out the hose bed on the back and I put a mattress on it.
I don't know how to put out fires anymore, but I know how to start them, honey.
It's like, ew, you're 50.
Yeah.
That's right.
Watch this high pressured hose.
Ew. I'm 17. It's the post apocalypse.
Oh,
you are?
Oh, shit. It's an apocalyptic wasteland.
Anything goes.
Apocalyptic.
Apocalyptic. She's like, get away.
I just go in the firehouse. I'm like, I got this. I start a fire truck and I actually put it in reverse and just slam it into the back of the building. The sirens go off. Water just starts pouring out. I got this. I got this.
That's a pretty good point. Like post-apocalyptic, like, you know, we look over, a bomb goes off in New York and suddenly it's like, all right, now you got to fend for yourself. Like without Instacart.
What's that?
That's like a food shopping service.
Like,
I don't know,
like
how
DoorDash, we would survive. But
it's DoorDash except for groceries. Okay. Yeah, exactly. So without Instacart, my wife is not – I mean, all the stores are going to be cleared out anyway. So now I got to hunt for food. Although I do have deer coming in my backyard every once in a while.
So you would
– I probably would have to hunt
one. You would hunt one of them. What are your odds, I think, that you could bag a deer? Like, you got guns, so that helps out a little bit. But then how are you going to cook it and everything? Can you even start a fire?
I can start a fire, yeah, if I have some gas and some dry stuff.
Well, again, I mean, Mad Max shows us that gas is going to be at a premium.
That's true.
They're going to take your gas the first day.
I go out to start my fire. I'm like, the fuck's my gas? They took my gas already.
Well, you guys are assuming that in the Mad Max future, like, people aren't going to need podcasts.
You know? That's true.
They might. We might be the last bastion of human communications is podcasters.
But there's so many podcasters now. You could spit and hit a podcaster nowadays, though.
This is true, but I'm figuring.
And sometimes you want to if it's the Mike and Ming show.
Found it. You found the way to get it in. yeah, but you got to figure Captain Trips has killed most podcasters, right?
Joe Rogan's gone. Shane Gillis.
So all the big wigs are gone.
Yeah,
we're the only ones standing. Yeah.
Taste Buds is gone.
Taste Buds is over. Memorial episode.
DeRosa died and we ate Sal. Yeah.
That would be something, though, if Captain Tripp swept through and somehow all three of us contacted each other. We're like, we all survived. How the fuck? It has a 99.9% death rate.
Yeah.
That'd be cool. But that's the way you, like, when you picture it, though, that's the way you picture it, is like the people around you that you care about still being there.
Right.
And you're going through it together, but the chances are that's not going to happen.
99% of the people you know are dead.
Right.
But I have a serious question, though. Do you think the internet will still be up and running if Mad Max becomes
no.
– I was going to say, wouldn't the internet just fall? Like, don't there have to be people who keep the internet up?
Yeah. I don't think that'll happen. Yeah. We'd have to do live shows, Walt. You'd have to
– or would
you'd have
the,
to break your rule.
Or would the people like the big wigs and the government and everything, they go into their bunkers, wouldn't they keep the internet up though? Or is it just they keep the internet up just for them?
I think the infrastructure – would not last.
I wish we had somebody on at the table who could fill us in on these questions like this.
Yeah,
like
somebody
what would
might
happen?
Know.
I know there's people that have the keys to the internet though, and in a doomsday scenario, there's like five people who have the keys to the internet though, and they would have to all come together and put their keys into the internet ignition and turn it so that the internet turns back on. But damn it, I just wish we had somebody that could fill us in on that, but oh well.
I hear his keys clicking and clacking over there.
We'll Google it later, I guess.
Yeah. I watched JFK last night for the first time in years.
Do you want Oliver Stone one?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. Wise bunch of birds.
I'm back in it, man. I'm back in the conspiracy. I'm wondering who killed him. Get him. Any thoughts?
He basically knows who did it, but he's unable to talk and fill us in, unfortunately.
People are upset, yeah. This could be put to rest if Get Him were allowed back on mic.
The Warren Commission actually, you know, cited Get Him's theory as one of the most possible outcomes, but Unfortunately, you know, due to listener feedback, he's not able to weigh in and tell us why and or how JFK was murdered.
Due to listener feedback.
So after watching, do you think government or mob? Or lone gunman theory?
I mean, I always like to believe the easiest answer because it just makes my life easier. But it sure did seem like – I mean, look, I also know that movie's not really factually correct, right? Like he made shit up for the movie and stuff. So, you know. But I like to think that – I mean, it's crazy. They can't kill the president like that, right? Like it had to be.
You would think not, but –
I don't know.
The more you find out about the government, the more you're like, yeah, it's entirely possible. Like if they said like, oh yeah, check it out, we never went to the moon, I wouldn't even feel like a lot of people would feel maybe embarrassed or let down or whatever. I wouldn't even be shocked. Like I wouldn't even be surprised. If they're like, guess what, guys? We were neck and neck. They explain it. Like, look, we're neck and neck with the Ruskies. We really wanted to beat them in the space race.
But then it's really embarrassing if you're an American because other countries have gone to the moon very recently.
Mm-hmm.
And we still haven't gotten there then, that means.
Well, we've landed. We've put landers on the moon, but people, humans on the moon.
Have these other – like didn't India send up a rocket? Was that manned? Did they get out and walk around? Or was that just get him shaking his head? No, they did not have a manned.
Get him saying they set up a convenience store on the moon.
Yeah, I think there's only been Americans on the moon, on the actual human on the moon. But we've sent landers up there. We've got other things up there. So, yeah. But if it came out, yeah, you're right. It wouldn't be – because I remember early in telling Steve, Dave, Walt, you felt that if it ever came out that the moon landing was fake, that society would unravel. Do you remember saying that? That always struck me.
I think it would be – I kind of walk that back a little now. I think we've seen so many different things come to light that you never would have thought could happen. And I think society would not unravel, but I think there would be a sorrow and a shame.
Like a demoralizing of the country.
Yeah, it would demoralize. A large segment would not give a fuck. They'd be like, it doesn't affect me. I don't care. You know, business as usual.
I think that so many people – I mean, doesn't it seem that a lot of people that live in the country fucking hate the country or don't see America for what it is, which is the best country in the history of the human race? It doesn't feel like people – it feels like most people are just tearing down the United States these days and like – criticizing it with snark and bullshit. So it's like, I don't even know that people would even feel embarrassed because they are already embarrassed.
Some patriots would.
Yeah. I think older people would.
Yeah, I think some patriotic people would definitely. I think you're right. Some people wouldn't. And you're right about people. I think it's the internet vibe. You know, it's made people just dislike everything. Like nothing's good. Everything sucks. Everything is deserving of like. I mean, of course, everything is can be criticized, but there does seem to be.
Hold on 1 second.
An aura of like. 1 second. Just not pleased with anything, especially the country. That brought Kevin Q.
Oh, did we lose Q?
Yeah.
Oh shoot.
I just think that there's. I wonder if it's like that in every country, though. Does every country have a segment of the population that just doesn't love their own country? That, you know what I mean? You mean like, is it Canadians? Are they that vocal about, you know, how much they don't like America and Switzerland and England or Europe, England and Europe and all the countries in Europe?
Well, France, don't they fucking riot every 100 years? They just they start beheading people. So I would say they probably.
France?
I mean, isn't their whole history based on people rising up and like attacking their government? Isn't that like.
Are they dealing with riots at the
France
moment?
Right now? I don't think so. Not in the moment. No.
Well, if not at the moment, it's been the last few years.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There were big riots, especially during the pandemic.
Yeah, but I mean, their whole history is they used to chop heads off and fucking take out governments and kill kings and queens. So maybe, yeah, so maybe it is, you know. Maybe it is a worldwide thing, but I'm just like, I don't know.
Yeah, there is one. There's a 2024 French farmers protest going on right now.
Well, protest is different, right? Protest is more of an issue-based thing, wouldn't you say? As opposed to like a total trashing of a country and being like, because if the farmers are protesting, they're protesting whatever, corn prices or some bullshit. But like people who are like, what the hell is that?
Drain.
From where?
From heaven.
What happened? All right, we had a little tech issue right there, so I'm going to jump into a spot here. We'll get these out of the way. Blue Chew. This episode is sponsored by Blue Chew. Let's talk about sex. Guys, remember the days when you were always ready to go? Hardly. I mean, who are you talking to? You're talking to guys that, like, when you were just ready to go when you were, like, what, 18, 20? That was a long time ago, Blue Chew. Stop fucking shaming us. At least.
What do you mean? In your 30s, you weren't ready to go?
Probably not. I was tired by my 30s. Yeah, probably in my 30s, I was ready to go.
Yeah, I think
I'm even ready to go now, I'd say.
Yeah.
Usually.
Yeah.
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 I am ready to go, Blue Chew. I apologize. Blue Chew is a unique
online.
Can't put
up a fence, but I could put up a boner.
Yeah, and isn't that really what – like, if I have to put up a fence or a boner at night with Mary Beth, there's one thing she's going to be impressed with, and that's the fence.
Yeah. The fence would be more impressive at this point.
You're like, this is okay, but a fence would be like nice. This. Yeah. Have you thought about going chain link, Mary Beth?
Yeah, it's a good question. It's a good question for the audience, for the 13 percenters in the audience, an official Blue Chew sponsored poll. Would you rather your man be able to put up or put up a fence?
Right.
Yeah.
I'll put it up on Twitter this week. So
yeah, I like that. That's
people
fun.
Can go in there at Tell 'em Steve Dave. You go on there. You can vote. 13 percenters only. Well. Or if you're a gay guy, I guess, right?
Yeah, if you like cock in any of its forms.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, there you go ahead.
Yeah, you can go on there and say, would you rather your significant other be able to put up a fence or put up a boner 5 nights a week? 7 if you got Blue Chew. What the hell? Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra, Cialis, and Levitra, but in chewable tablets at a fraction of the cost. You can take them anytime, day or night. The process is simple. Sign up at BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. And the best part is it's all done online, so no visits to the doctor's office, no awkward conversations, no waiting in line at the pharmacy and seeing people you know, and they're like, hey, what's wrong? Can't I put up a fence or a boner? Blue Chew's tablets are made in the USA and prepared and shipped direct to your door in a discreet package. I've used it in the past. It works. It does make you feel like you can put it up. Pretty good. And Blue Chew wants to help you have better sex. So discover your options at BlueChew.com. Chew it and do it. And we've got a special deal for listeners. Try Blue Chew free when you use the promo code TESD at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com, promo code TESD, to receive your first month free. Visit Blue Chew for more details and more important safety information. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring this podcast. Thank you, Blue Chew. Thank you, boners. It's all good.
Okay. I had a friend say, oh, is there another ad?
There is. Let me knock this one out, and then we don't have to get interrupted again. This episode is also brought to you by the spring cleaning champions, Manscaped. This season, make sure to groom your carpets and the drapes with the leaders in below-the-waist grooming. Clear that winter bush with Manscaped Lawnmower 5.0. Do you really stop grooming just because it's winter? I guess so, right?
I don't know.
I don't either.
Go at all times. Yeah.
Yeah, Manscaped. Don't worry, Manscaped. We got your back. Watch your confidence bloom like the springtime flowers. Embrace the season and join 10 million men worldwide who have trusted Manscaped. And with a special offer, you go to manscaped.com and use code TESD for 20% off plus free shipping. I got to talk about a funny grooming story. Oh, shit. I don't know if I have any. You have any funny grooming stories, Walt?
I used to groom with, this is true. I used to groom without Manscaped. Mm-hmm. And I would, on a critical night, I did a little nick.
Oh, on no.
It kind of ruined the night. And I don't know if that's a funny story, but that did happen to me.
That's a tragic story. She probably thought it was like an open sore, and you're like, come here.
I canceled the whole night. I didn't go out. Yeah.
Up out of a nick, home. Huh?
Yeah, so, you know.
It sounds like more than a nick.
No, yeah, really like it just like cut. Well, you know, if you're going to present it, you don't want to present it for the first time with like an unsightly scab on
Yeah,
it,
but where are we talking about it? Could it have been like playfully covered up by like maybe like a rose or something or a
merkin?
I was more concerned about taste than visual.
Oh, you're concerned. You know, got all blood in her mouth and a scab and shit. Yeah. Like, yeah. You have all the lights out when she gets there just so she doesn't know.
It's not the impression that you want to make. So, but ever since Manscaped came into our lives, this has never happened.
Yeah, this is not a problem anymore. This is not something you have to think of. Their fifth generation trimmer features two interchangeable next-gen skin-safe blade heads, a standard one for taking a little off the top, and a new foil blade to go smooth.
Hold on, though. Like, would it have ruined the moment if, like, you know, like she got your jeans off and you had a Band-Aid on over it?
Probably.
Like it was wrapped in gauze like a mummy and shit.
Like you just had a little Band-Aid.
Like one of those little circle ones.
It's like a Superman Band-Aid on the tip.
That's definitely not a genital wart.
Yeah. Trust me, I'm clumsy. That's all.
I'm all thumbs.
Thank God.
This thing is waterproof. You can shave in the shower, in the bath, or even in the ocean. Well, I don't know about the ocean. Don't take it in the ocean because there's salt and it'll probably gum up your works. Has a compact case. You can take it with you wherever you go. And it just doesn't apply to the nether regions. Get the full grooming experience with Manscaped Signature Beard Hedger Pro Kit plus Handyman Electric Face Shaver. So whether you're looking to craft your signature look or clean up that neckline, these are always the right tools for the job. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code TESD at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping with the code TESD at manscaped.com. Nothing like a little spring cleaning in your pants. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Indeed. All right. So we got those out of the way.
All right. I had a moral – I advised my friend on a – well, I tried to advise him. He didn't fucking listen to me at all. The horse had already left the barn. But I went out with a bunch of high school buddies the other night, right? Had a couple.
I just imagine you hanging out with a bunch of 10th graders right now.
No. I knew them when they were 10th graders, but not now. So we went out, and it was like six of us out. And I don't want to name names at all because this is like, you know. But my buddy's wife's sister has moved into the house with him. Mm-hmm. Has for about a year now. I live on Staten Island and, the sister moved in the house. I haven't seen the sister, but he assures me she's good looking. And, he made a comment to his wife that, is it cheating if me and your sister sit on opposite ends of the couch and masturbate? And I started laughing and I go, and as a joke, I went, well, what did our sister say? Being like, there's no fucking way that he would have told the sister. Right. He goes, no, I told her. He goes, I asked her. He goes, and she was like, I don't know. And I was like, this is fucking crazy. I'm like, dude, you got to stop saying this shit to your wife and your wife's sister, man. I was like, that is fucking insane. Like, am I prudish? Am I off the mark, or is that not a good idea?
I don't think you're prudish, but it is not a good idea because then it sows seeds. So seeds of doubt in that wife's mind. Like, why is he even asking that? Why is he even thinking about it? It's not just a crazy scenario.
It doesn't – it's – to honestly, the more I dug, the more it sounded like he was trying to make it happen. And I was like, dude, I don't think you should be doing this, man. Like, I don't know, man. It's his sister and all that stuff.
That does sound like dangerous territory.
It does, but he was like, yeah, then he's like, sometimes I go in the gym and they're working out together and I just look at them both working out. And I'm like, dude, you got to fucking stop whatever you're doing right now. You got to get that sister out of the fucking house. But then I thought about it and I was like, am I getting old? Would a younger me have embraced this scenario?
Well, what's tough is you're like, they're married, right? It's not even like you're married. Just a girlfriend.
It's as if Mary Beth came to you and was like, is it cheating if me and Darren got off on the couch together? Like, right, what's your response to that? It's the craziest fucking thing.
To which I would be like, how much have you had to drink? Like, what are you talking about? But yeah, I would say, yeah. Yeah, it's cheating. I don't know. It's not even really a question. Well, I don't know. Is the wife in on it? If the wife is okay with it,
it then sounded it's not. Like she laughed it off, but I don't know that laughing it off is giving approval.
Is the same as like if she walks in and sees it after that and is like, woo.
Yeah, I don't think she giggles. I don't know.
Right.
I don't know. I was sort of curious to hear what you guys, well, I guess I kind of knew what you guys were going to think about it, but I was blown away. I was just blown away that this is going on in the world. On Staten Island, of all places.
On Staten Island. Just a hop, skip, and a jump away from our backyards, Walt.
Yeah.
That, just got a sexual deviancy
that,
going on.
That bastion of purity, Staten Island.
But is there a world where it's not cheating?
A world in which the wife is like, sure, go ahead.
That's crazy.
Or is it? Is it still cheating, but authorized?
I don't know. Let's do another poll and find out. I don't know. It just seemed like such a crazy thing. And I spent like an hour trying to tell him, like, I don't think you should be saying things like that to your...
You were counseling him.
I was trying because, like, I just doesn't seem like it could end anywhere good. I mean, sure, it could end up with him and the sister jerking off on a couch, but, like, it just seems like a bad idea. It seems such a short-sighted idea.
Because then what's next after that? Okay, we masturbated on opposite ends of the couch. We checked each other out. We did that. Now,
yeah, I told him.
Now
I don't
what comes next?
It's always a drip. I was like, I don't even think you should be flirting with your sister-in-law, dude. Like, I think like it's a bad start. But I was told that I was wrong.
How old are they?
Really?
Well, I went to high school with them.
Okay, and how long have they been married? Yeah.
Maybe 15 years, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Well, is that about the time? Maybe he has the itch.
Yeah.
I feel like Walt Flanagan never got the itch.
No, no itches.
No, he's scratch free. This Walt Flanagan.
Yeah. That's nice. That's nice to be scratch free.
Yeah. To be completely happy in your relationship is so rare.
I don't know. All right. I'm just blown. I can't get it out of my mind because I'm just like, it's just such a, I can't imagine saying that out loud.
Did it seem like it was going to happen? Like even after your,
well, I don't know because he, because
the sister-in-law has to be into
her,
it as well, right?
Well, that's what I'm saying. He kept going back to her response of like, I don't know. Maybe it's cheating. Where it's just like, I don't know. Like, wouldn't you want your brother to be like, no, that's cheating. We probably shouldn't do that.
Yeah. I wouldn't want anything leading to like possibly the next step, like even them just sitting on the same couch together. I would forbid it.
Yeah. Suddenly their feet are touching while they do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Uh-huh. That's how it starts.
Playing footsie and shit. Yeah. That seems like bad news, eh, Walt?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The worst kind of news.
Yeah. That was a weird conversation.
Q's out there, man. I saw Q getting drunk with Steve Byrne.
Online.
I haven't seen Byrne in a while.
Really? I just saw something on Instagram where you guys were doing some drinking and presenting a something for IJ. It looked like you were presenting a speech.
Oh, that was last season. That was a bit.
Oh, was it?
Like a year and a half ago.
Oh, okay.
No, I haven't seen.
I saw Keo like, damn, he's out and about. He's getting drunk with it. Steve Byrne was on the on our pod once. He was into Pittsburgh hockey and stuff. Pittsburgh Penguins hockey. He was a comedian that he had a special, so he came on and we talked to him for a little bit.
Gotcha.
Yeah, great guy. Opened for us for
no memory, right? No memory of it.
You know how many pods we've done? You know how many pods that I have done? It's like they seem countless. Like you couldn't even begin to imagine how many pods I've been on and. I don't – unless Steve Byrne said something like that super memorable other than like Pittsburgh Penguin hockey, if that's the only thing –
That was it.
Then I don't know if I remember it.
Oh, speaking of comedians, and this is something that Troy hit me to, and he was like, you got to watch it. You got to watch it. And the more somebody tells me I got to watch something, the more afraid I am I'm not going to like it. And then I have to go back to the person and be like, eh, you know, whatever. But he recommended the new Shane Gillis stand-up on Netflix.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, who it's so fucking good. Troy recommended it.
Troy.
Yeah. And Shane Gillis is – Shane Gillis, who was –
Sounds like a country singer.
Yeah, it does, right?
Yeah.
He's a comedian, and he was supposed to be on SNL. And some audio came out of him on a podcast doing like an Asian voice or something like that. You know, it was at the prime cancellation time. This is a couple of years back, I guess, year and a half back. And boom, suddenly he's off SNL.
Who would ever do an Asian voice to try to get laughs?
I know, it's crazy, right? Lowest common denominator type shit.
My apology for the Ching Chong song is on record.
No, I was thinking of the Ming voice.
I probably will never get on SNL now.
You've probably burned that
because I knew about it and still did it anyway. That's the rebel in me. Fuck you, Lorne Michaels. You ain't going to stop me.
Well, I mean, but he brought him on. He brought Shane on.
He actually did bring him on, which I wish Shane Gillis had been like, I'm good. Because what they fired. I mean, he never got to be on SNL. No. And then years later, you know, he's popular enough. I think he has the number one Patreon.
I think really?
He's got something nuts like 80,000 followers or something like
that. Does he do fucking gifts like, you know, like a clock with Frank Five's face on it?
I don't think so. I think he just sits there and talks. Yeah.
Speaking of recommendations, I got some recommendations too to watch shit. Something that's very like popular and very like everybody's, I guess, seen at least one episode, but I hadn't up until getting the recommendation. Frank Five, speaking of Frank, he was like, him and his wife are like, if you're looking for a TV show to binge, you know, night, like, you guys got to watch Frasier. And my mom was like, she echoed that. Oh my God, it's so good. You'll love Frasier. I'm four seasons in. And I'm like,
you don't like it?
I'm like, what the fuck? I don't get Frasier. I don't get the appeal. There's nothing that happens. It's the same jokes over and over again. I mean, yeah. I'm going to get through. I'm going to power through it, but I'm like,
how many seasons? Like nine or something?
It's like nine seasons. I'm in like season four.
11?
I think it's like 11 seasons.
But yeah, it's long and it's harmless and it's fine, but it doesn't rise to the level of like, you know, to the stature that people place it in, like with The Office and some other great comedies, television comedies.
See, I enjoy it more than The Office.
Frasier?
The American Office, yeah. I'm not a big fan of The American Office.
You like Frasier. I'm surprised you like Frasier.
Yeah, I do like Frasier. I like it. I liked it more than Cheers.
Insane. Whoa.
Yeah, I did like it more than Cheers.
Why?
Wow, all right.
I don't know. There's just like their sense of humor. I like the old dad.
Right.
I like the back and forth with Niles. And yeah, I like the back and forth with Niles and Frasier. And Daphne too.
It's harmless, it's fluff, but like I can.
You're right. It's the same show.
I could find a million shows that are better. This from the way, and I don't mean to bash Frasier. I'm really more bashing Frank and my mom's recommendations for like for how strong they were. Like, you are going to love it. How could you have never seen an episode of Frasier? And I was like, just never happened. And so I've been watching it nightly, and I'm just waiting for that one episode to like finally click.
Yeah, well, Frank Five has a history of recommending not great shows. He recommended The Waltons to me, off of my Little House on the Prairie affinity. And I watched it, and I watched a bunch of episodes, and I'm like, there's a fucking 11 people. I don't know anybody's name. None of them have shoes. They're dirt poor. Nothing good ever happens to them. They're constantly getting, like, robbed or, like, with Little House on the Prairie, something bad would happen, but then something good would happen. Waltons, it's like something bad just happens.
He does have a good track record, though, before this. He recommended The Middle, and I really loved that show. So I was all in on Frank Five's, you know, recommendations. But now I have to
– Now you got a question.
Now all of a sudden my world's topsy-turvy when – and I don't know if I could trust Frank's opinion on television any longer.
I started watching Shogun on FX.
The new one.
Holy shit, it's so fucking good, Walt.
Really?
It's awesome, yeah.
Is it all subtitled? Because I almost watched it the other day on your recommendation, and then I was not in the mood to read.
It is a lot. All the Japanese language is subtitled, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But it, you don't care. I mean, it's just like, it's so good, dude.
Did you remember the original? Were you too young?
Only thing I remember in the little one is that scene where Chamberlain got pissed on by the guy. Do you remember that?
Because it's hard to forget, right? You don't rarely see that on TV.
What the fuck is going on? I'm like, I remember as a kid being like kind of upset and disturbed by it.
Yeah, oh yeah. It was like me with the monkeys when one of the monkeys was in the bathtub being paraded down Broadway.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah, and they recreate that scene in this one, and I guess I'm just jaded now because I wasn't at all.
I wasn't. Well, what happened? I didn't watch the original Shogun. Somebody got pissed on?
Yeah, it's, yeah. What was the scenario in that again?
So Richard Chamberlain, his ship washes up in Japan. It's like a shipwreck thing. You know, and he's an Englishman, and he comes on, and he's like trying to fuck it, 1600 Japan, and he's trying to like – you know, be like, what the fuck's the matter with you people? You know, he's going after the Japanese, telling them like they're bad hosts. They don't understand him, but he's being very aggressive. And he starts grabbing his cock in their direction, like that old Braveheart style thing. So the samurai lord of the village or whatever has his men hold him down. And he just pisses on his back and on his head and then throws him in jail.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, I didn't know as a kid such a thing could happen.
I agree with you because it's like, what, 1984? And yeah, you just don't expect that. You're like, you're watching Fonzie jump, you know, 15 garbage cans about an hour earlier, and all of a sudden now someone's getting urinated on.
Yeah.
You flip the dial, and you did not expect that to see that in the same evening.
No, I mean, you know, so that, but now it's, but it is great. It is fucking great. And there's only two episodes so far. So jump on. Do you think it's, if he had said, my brother lives with us and we're going to jerk off on the couch together, is it gay? Is it gay?
Is it gay, incestually gay, if you jerk off on the same couch as your brother?
Brother-in-law.
Oh, brother-in-law. I thought you said brother.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It doesn't get gayer than that.
No, even well, if unless, there's like a...
Unless, yeah, you crawl across the couch to each other, yeah.
Unless your foot starts touching.
Mm-hmm. Little footsie action.
I can't get over the rules of this one. But yeah, Shogun is so fucking good, man. It's dope. You'll love it. You'll love it.
Did you see Dune?
You know, I did not like the first Dune.
Oh, I saw the second one.
Is it good?
I liked it. I thought it was like... cinematography is breathtaking. You know, it's like, poof, you can't get a better shot film. And I don't mind the storyline, but I went with Gidim because he loves Dune. And the whole time that he's watching it, I just keep looking over at him because he's making it verbally known without saying anything that he's not happy. Oh.
The same shit people complain about here. Rosie and shit.
And he's making it known that he's not pleased with what some of the things.
Whatever
that,
direction it's going.
Yeah, because he's a book junkie for it. And yeah, he was not happy with it.
I saw the first one, like the one back in like 80 or something. Is that the one you're talking about?
No.
Now there's a new series.
So I don't know. It feels like it came out like 5 years ago, the new Dune. And it was a long time, I thought, between part one and part two. But the one you're thinking of with Sting?
Was that David Lynch?
Yeah.
I thought. I remember not liking it at all.
It's very forgettable.
Like very boring.
Yeah.
But then again, I was like in sixth grade or something when it came out, seventh grade, so I don't know.
Yeah, this one's got wild-ass costumes. And did you feel like there was something weird going on between the mother and the son? Incestuous, didn't it?
I barely remember. I just remember the first one. I just felt like... is anything going to happen? And then when something finally happened, the movie ended. Like, that's my impression of the first Dune movie. So, but is the second one so good that I should go back and because I tried to reevaluate the Batman. I watched that recently.
And my opinion still not clicking? No.
No, it clicked even less for me.
I don't know. It's 3 hours, though, the new Dune. It's a long movie.
You went to the theaters to see it to get them?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a friend.
It was packed?
Oh, yeah. It was packed. Packed. People loved Dune.
Was everybody making the same noises as Gidim? Everybody was like,
I think you got to see it. Like, if you're into sci-fi and if you're into, like, some really well... presented, like, you know, like there's a lot of attention to detail, the costumery, it's gorgeous. But is the story that engaging? it's engaging enough to I was never like, there's plenty of times in a 3-hour movie, I'm like, okay, this must be the end. And I was like, holy shit, this is not the end. And it just went on for another half hour. But I would recommend watching it. I think it's worthy of if you got 3 hours to kill.
Well, that means I got to rewatch the first one.
I didn't. No. I didn't rewatch it. I only saw it once, and you'll be all right. You'll be able to pick it up. You'll be all right.
It's like time is so precious as you get older. You're like, I guess I'll rewatch this movie I didn't like to watch a movie that I'm probably not going to like.
I'd be shocked if you don't like it. Yeah. It reminds me a lot of like Mad Max 2 at times, not as much action, but with the costumes and the way that people dress and the culture that they try to present. It's very alien-esque.
I mean, is it telling that like Dune has been in my life since I was a kid? You know, I never read the books, but it's been around, and I saw the first movie, and I still don't know what the fuck spice is. I'm like, what is this shit? I'm like, does it make you psychic? Is it a drug? Like, I don't fucking know what spice. It grows out of the sand. What is going on? Like, did the worm shit it out? I don't understand fucking.
If there was someone here.
Again, is about to gouge his ears out because and his tongue because he wants to speak right now.
He wants to talk about Dune
so bad and regale you with why you should love the books but not the movie. I guess it's something that worms produce that some sort of psychotic drug that it does bring you to like peyote, right? Certain parts of it. It doesn't send you tripping and heighten your sentences. All right, fuck off. It doesn't matter.
I'm genuinely excited for Ghostbusters, man. It's the first movie in a long time that I've been like, I can't fucking wait for Ghostbusters.
It's so weird because we got trailers we're very different, different flavors of movies. And I was like, who the fuck wants to see this?
Oh, I can't wait to see it, man.
Yeah, I'm just like, oh, it looks like it's.
Is it all about children again?
No, I think the OG Ghostbusters are there.
I've been told that the OG Ghostbusters have a much larger role than has even been anticipated in the trailers.
I think you're right. It looks like they're going to be major players, but yeah. But then again, I've never been a Ghostbusters guy. I can watch them and enjoy them for what they are, but I've never been like one of those super fans. Like, gotta have the merch, gotta like live it, breathe it.
Yeah.
As you see Ghostbusters car in his background.
You see the 1/6 scale Ecto-1 right behind you.
Which is cool. Like, yeah, different strokes for different folks. But and I know that people – it's a beloved franchise. And for me, it's just like it's – I'll watch it. If it's good, I can admit I like it. But other than that, it's never been something that like I've had a fever for.
I mean, that first movie is my favorite movie.
Ever.
My life. Ever. Love that. That first Ghostbusters movie means so much to me. I love it so much that it's hard not to get excited. And then they're hitting the notes. Then they're like, oh, you guys remember Slimer? Here's Slimer. And I'm like, oh, it's fucking Slimer. Oh, here's the Ecto-1. I give it to me. I
get it. There's a certain fan base who is out of their seats with joy when they see Slimer. But for me, it's just like, come on, man, move on. Give us a different ghost. Give us something that's like, stop going with the Stay Puff guy, no matter how many times.
Yeah, if I had to make one suggestion, I would be like, maybe we don't need the mini pace Stay Puff guys in this movie. But what do I know? What do I know? Exactly. I liked him in the first one, so we'll see. But man, like when the trailer, I'm assuming it's a attic of the firehouse, and he goes up there and it's like all that food wrappers and stuff, and Slimer's been living alone in the firehouse all those years. Yeah, because I, you know, it's that thing in me that's like, I think comes from comic books where it's like, I love continuity. I love seeing something come back. I love knowing the history of something. I love fan service. I love, you know what I mean? Like, that all comes from comic books, from like, oh, fuck, this character's back. You know what I mean? I don't know. I get it. I totally get it.
And like, and again, I am the minority here. People love that franchise. I just like it. I don't love it. Yeah. But, you know, it looks like it's poised to do boffo business.
I hope so. I don't want them to make more. and more and more and more.
Will they bring back the gals?
Just about to ask that. I was waiting.
You want to hear? You want to bring Slimer back? Well, what about they bring back the gal force?
I think that – you know what it is? I think that
– Name something Leslie Jones doesn't make better.
I think that what's going to happen is enough time's going to go by. Like the like what happened with The Phantom Menace? Remember how much we all fucking hated The Phantom Menace when it came out?
Sure.
And then – and now people are like, all right, it's been 20-something years. It's The Phantom Menace. It's always been around. And kids who grew up on Phantom Menace are like, no, what are you talking about? Phantom Menace is fucking awesome. There's a chance that that 2016 Ghostbusters movie gets a reevaluation in 20 years, and then they bring them back for a cameo in something else, maybe?
So you want to bring them back in 20 years? I mean, they're
I don't want to bring them back at all.
They're 70s,
I don't want to bring them back at all.
I would think, though, like if you want Slimer back, if you want Stay Puft back, then you got to want then – you're all in. Not you. I'm just talking about the fan base. You got to embrace it all then.
No, you don't.
Or your false Buster fans.
False fan. I guess.
Embrace it all.
All right. I'll embrace it. You got it.
There's no room for that.
Yeah, Q's watching it going, ooh.
They did it in the comic book already. They did like a team up between the female team and the male team through like a multiverse type thing.
Oh, so, really? You know, did you enjoy that?
It was probably the best way to use those characters, I thought. So it was fine. Like in the comic book, it was fine.
Will there be any acknowledgement of those characters, even in this, like a throwaway line or seems that's a head scratcher because it would be nice.
It's not a head scratcher at all.
Everybody's trying to forget.
But it's a head scratcher that you just wouldn't kind of like mention them in some way, just to acknowledge the existence, the continuity, the canon, the universe that they're building.
Even a little tongue-in-cheek poke at them.
That movie threw out the main continuity. It was like, we're doing our own thing, so go do your fucking own thing.
That's true. Okay.
Yeah. Right.
Oh, wait, you can't do your own thing.
Yeah, because
nobody wants
shit.
You to do your own thing.
People don't want it.
Is that what happened?
But anyway, I'm excited about the new one. I'm very excited about the new one.
We got trailers for Kong Godzilla, which looks even worse than Ghostbusters.
All right.
And
Ghostbusters.
Oh, yeah, that's where I was going. Ugh. Ugh. Yeah. Ugh.
Yeah, you know, I don't get excited about movies anymore. So it's nice to get excited about something.
Yeah, I'm sure. You know, I was being too hard. I think it does look, again, looks like they put a ton of money into it too. And the creature looks pretty cool.
Yeah. That like demon or whatever it is.
Like a snow demons or.
Yeah. I can't wait, man. I'm going to go. I'll let you know. I'll give you the full.
And I thought download. What's his name? It's definitely working out. The older Ghostbusters, not Bill Murray.
Dan Aykroyd?
Yeah, he looks 1,000 times better than he did in the last Ghostbusters. He must have got a facelift or something.
I think he lost weight. I think
he looked really like he looked like 30 years younger than he did in the last Ghostbusters in that.
Yeah, I thought the same
trailer.
Thing. I was like, oh, he saw the last one. It was like, let me slim down about 30
years. So, yeah. He's married to Donna Dixon, right?
Yeah.
I think did they get divorced or they're still married?
Now, I checked the other day. It seems like random that I would check to see if they were married, but there's a reason. And they're still married.
Oh, well, hey, good for them, man. I like it when it works out.
Yeah. That's a Hollywood marriage that definitely fucking defied logic and
all
sight.
Reason.
And sight. And somehow, some way, those two kooky kids made it.
They made it. Nobody's on the couch jerking off with siblings or anything like that. Everything's fine in that marriage.
That was 80s?
Oh, yeah.
80s, right?
84?
Wow.
83 together.
And who did she leave? She left Paul Stanley
and married Dan Aykroyd, Dr. Detroit.
I don't think that's – I mean, you could go with anything else besides Dr. Detroit.
Okay, so you can be on the arm of Star Child or Dr. Detroit.
Well, the blues.
I would love to interview Donna Dixon, but it would come across as a little insulting if I was like, how do you go from the Star Child to Dr. Detroit?
Yeah, but Aykroyd wasn't.
He's like, I'm right here. I can hear you saying it.
What?
He's not a. He wasn't a bad looking guy when he was younger. He was tall, thin, rich, funny.
Yes, I am not saying it's just the stature and the you go from the Star Child, basically a rock god.
No. The lover.
Can you put fucking Dan Aykroyd in that unitard and those platform boots? And then you put Paul in there and you're not telling me he's a rock god?
Dude,
that chest?
Put Paul in Ghostbusters. See how that goes. Put Paul
oh, you don't
in
think
Saturn
you can pull,
see how
you don't
goes.
Think he can pull off a fucking onesie? He pulled off a fucking unitard. Not many guys can.
Just ask Adam.
I think Aykroyd can pull it off, man. I think Aykroyd can pull it off.
What's that?
I think Aykroyd could pull it off.
You think he could dress as the Star Child and get up on stage and have hundreds of thousands of people fawning for him?
He was a blues brother. He did it. He performed.
It's just dumpy. It's like a dumpy, like chubby blues brother.
He always
brother.
Looked middle-aged.
What, are you talking about him now or him back in the 80s?
Even back as a blues brother, he just looked like
he was tall and thin. That's not true.
Taller and thin than Paul with his platforms on. He's fucking 7'5".
Dude, I guess the question really, too, is like she made the right choice because who the fuck cares about Paul Stanley today? Does anybody?
Yes. We do a podcast on it.
Okay. Aside from that,
well, I mean, if he wasn't in Ghostbusters, when's the last time you heard of Dan Aykroyd?
That's a good question, but he's an icon. Like he's
an icon. That's tough. I mean, if you're going to say he's an icon, then you got to say Paul's an icon too. Then they're
wasn't
both
he
icons.
Replaced with another guy in makeup, didn't they just be like, "Yo, put this."
He was one of the unreplaceable members.
Oh, they never replaced him.
Never replaced him.
To me, his fucking superpower isn't looking good in the leotard. It's dealing with that fucking guy.
Gene?
Gene. That's his fucking – that's where he gets my respect. That's where I'm like, yeah, that's fucking – that's pretty fucking good because you know that was not an easy ride. He's got to hate that fucking guy.
Well, I mean it's – I think it's just business, man. At a certain point, it's like you got – it's something you just got to deal with. You got to put it beside you and just power through it.
Just put on your makeup and your boots.
I had satellite radio for a while, and there was a promo that they would play before ever, like when they would play a Kiss song, and it would be Paul Stanley. And it's like in between songs and before they played a Kiss song, it'd be like, Paul Stanley of Kiss talks about Gene Simmons. And it's just like, has it always been easy? No. You know, have we disagreed on things? Of course. You know, has he been difficult to be around? Sure. But at the end of the day, we both saw a vision and we saw it through and, you know, we never let the band falter for other reasons. And then they played a Kiss song. And I'm like, isn't there a better fucking soundbite you could play than that? I mean, that to me is a crazy soundbite that you would take to like talk about like Paul talking about Gene. There has to be a better one than that.
I mean, how much worse could it get? Like, yeah, he's an asshole. Anyway, here's a Kiss song. That's all that has to be rough. I mean, I think about like the four of us on Jokers and I'm like, man, we just like the gift of getting along all these years, you know, for the most part, there's little things here and there, of course, but like, I couldn't imagine like doing it for that long and like not getting along. Hating. They got to hate each other, right? At points.
I've never heard that they hate each other. But, I mean, he's definitely a pill, man. He's definitely a guy that could probably get on your nerves. But they probably both have, like, massive, gigantic, galaxy-sized egos, though, that
– Yeah.
That
How
take,
could you not, right?
Yeah.
Which is funny because, like, I wonder what – people evaluate Kiss as today, like someone in their 20s. I wonder if they look at it and they're like rock gods or they're
prehistoric
like,
dinosaurs.
Corny shit.
Yep.
Yeah. So yeah. They live long enough to see them become fucking a joke.
Well, I mean, yeah, but any band of that era is going to be looked upon as stale bread.
You think Springsteen's looking stale?
Oh, to a 20-year-old?
Baby,
little boy, down in the factory. Asbury Park Boardwalk. That's where I wrote some songs.
Bandana hanging out my back pocket.
Yeah,
born
but at least you can look
at,
like, you can look at Springsteen and be like, I mean, say what you want about the guy. He's wearing a white t-shirt and jeans. He's not dressed up like a fucking cat lip syncing all over the fucking stage. Oh, like, there's some dignity that comes to it, that comes with being Bruce.
But you put that makeup on, you can hide so many wrinkles and blemishes and imperfections. You put that makeup on, all of a sudden that 70-year-old face turns into a 55-year-old face.
Yeah, Vinnie Vincent is still wearing the makeup.
I'm just saying, though, but the kids, I think, would look at that and be like, that's fucking – get this cornball shit out of here.
Well, the kids got to be educated. That's the problem. You know, it's like, yeah.
They have courses in all kinds of shit at college. There should be a kissology course.
Yeah, let me show you how difficult it is for a 70-year-old man to get up on stage for an hour and a half. Lip syncing or not, he has to fucking get up on a trapeze. He has to breathe fire. He has to spit blood and then be fucking thrown into the air 100 feet, you know, by these wires. Yeah. And still look like he's not a 70-year-old man doing it. And they are able to do it.
Right.
You know, they don't look like 70-year-old men that you're going to walk up on in fucking Wawa. No, they are fucking, you know, they are.
That's because they're fucking billionaires and they have the money to do it. I think a kid in the audience should be like, look, I'm not going to be able to afford a house until I'm 40. And this old fucking dickhead's on stage making billions of dollars, dressing like a fucking alien cat or whatever the fuck they are. I don't know that kids would love it.
I don't want them to love it. I want them to appreciate it.
Just respect it.
Respect it. That's it.
Okay.
Show some respect.
I don't think that's too much to ask for. But I don't think that Dan Aykroyd deserves more respect.
I don't think he's disrespected at all. I think I was just venting because, you know, I still feel bad that Paul didn't get to marry Donna Dixon.
You had to write songs about it.
It still bugs me. You know, that's, I'm in Paul's camp. You know, you're going to like side with Dan, I'm going to side with Paul. And at the end of the day, you know, I got Paul's back. You got Dan's back.
Yeah, it's all right.
Two people nobody gives a fuck about. No current person is like. If you had to pick one between the war of Dan Aykroyd and Paul Stanley.
I'm going to give it to him, too. Dan Aykroyd won.
Dan Aykroyd won. Well, who did Paul Stanley marry? Who did he marry?
He did get married. He did have children. But at the end of the day, that was the prize. That was the prize. And he lost. And. You know, I have to admit that, and that doesn't come easy for me to say that out on a podcast that, you know, Paul lost.
And so publicly, too.
Yeah.
It's not like a regular relationship where it's like you and some other guy at the bar and he wins for the night. It's like, this is publicly, she left him for another guy.
Yeah.
Another very famous guy.
Another
too.
Famous guy.
Yeah. Dan Aykroyd's like the Tom Brady of getting that ass.
Well, speaking of Tom Brady, did you hear that it came out that it's confirmed that Giselle was having an affair with her Brazilian
jiu-jitsu instructor.
He said that he came to grips with that he had to admit to himself that the affair had been going on for quite some time. And
While they were married.
They were on opposite ends of the couch masturbating.
Oh, rough.
The worst kind of betrayal.
And I just would like to, I don't want to rub it in people's faces or – you know, say I told you so,
sure.
Or expect
that's not like you.
Or expect people to contact KMuse 2 and apologize to me for how they bash me for me bashing her at the time when everything was going south, and I was called a misogynist, and I was called a fucking caveman, and I was called a Tom Brady apologist. Mm-hmm. I expect the same amount of emails in my inbox.
Yeah.
And I haven't seen any yet, so.
I'd like to say the same for saying the Chinese created COVID, because I think.
We're talking something more meaningful here. We're talking the goat.
I wouldn't mind seeing a few emails come my way. COVID versus affair.
But doesn't that give, in some small way, though, it's kind of, I don't know, not comforting is not the right word, but like, we're all in this together. We're all in this together. And if Tom Brady, his wife, can step out on him,
yeah,
basically an Adonis, basically God's, you know, fucking Adam or whatever is that thing he created, like that, that's on that Michelangelo painting.
Oh, right, right. Yeah.
What's that character called? Yeah, with the finger.
God.
Yeah. And she still would step out on him.
Yeah.
It's really like, hey, it happens, and don't beat yourself up on it.
You think it has anything to do with like the fact that that motherfucker ain't never put up a fence in his life?
Do you think it did?
Sure, he could throw a wicked spiral.
Something did.
Yeah, but he could pay to have a fucking a million fences put around his property.
Yeah, but some essential manliness. Oh, no, Mary
Beth's
going to
step out on me.
What's that?
Don't you think some essential manliness is lost when you're like, oh, I got to pay this guy to do this fence for me? Like, well, it doesn't matter.
I hope not, because if that's the case, what does my wife think of me?
No, I'm a lesbian.
It's not as satisfying to be like, I could just pay someone to put up.
I couldn't figure out how to turn the heat on in the car the other day. And so she's like, why are you driving around in this ice box? It's like, well, I can't figure out which dial turns the heat on.
The other
jiu-jitsu classes.
She's like, yeah, I'm thinking about joining a jiu-jitsu class. It's like, really?
Yeah, just me.
Okay. Oh, just you. Okay. Yeah, you need some muscle. You need some protection courses.
Yeah, I won't always be there to protect
that's
you.
That's right. I won't always be here to be your muscle.
She's like, oh, you're right about you not always being around.
That's a good thing. Yeah. Well, let's find someone who's like really buff and knows what they're doing. Yeah. This is going to be great.
This is going to be great.
Everything's fine.
This is foolproof.
But like, you understand what I'm saying? It's like, it is, I don't know how to say this. It's almost like a religious thing. It's like, he got cheated on, so we don't feel so bad about it when it happens to us. Tom Brady, right? It's almost like he took that slight, or that, like, you know, that
he took the cuckold hit.
Yeah.
Yeah. For almost like Jesus, like, in a way that, like, he died for our sins, but like, he got cheated on for us not to feel so shitty about ourselves.
That's true. If you walk in and your wife is jerking off with your brother on a couch, like, you could say, hey, it happened to Tom Brady. What did I think? It wasn't going to happen to me.
I mean, yeah. I mean, you could take some solace. I don't know if people will, but, you know, even the best of us, like, can – life happens.
At this point, if it happened to Tom Brady, you should expect that it's going to happen to you. not even just be surprised when it does.
I bet you it started with flirting with Giselle and that fucking
– like, very fucking close, showing her the moves and shit, you know, has his arm on her elbow.
You're looking great today.
Mm-hmm.
Looking great today.
Great kicks. Great flexibility.
Yeah.
See, Tom should have challenged him to a fucking steel cage match.
Yeah.
Right?
To win back the love of his woman.
Win back the hand of his woman. And I think, much like Fonzie, who could, like, he could do any task, even if he had never done it before, I think Tom Brady could fucking whip that Brazilian jiu-jitsu's ass in jiu-jitsu. Right?
Pick your style.
Dancing monkey? Let's go. Drunk monkey?
I got that,
got
too.
Got that? Yeah.
I'm covered. Fucking Tom Brady, bitch.
That's so funny. Jesus.
Wow. We learned a lot here today.
Yep. All right. Well, I know you want to wrap it up. Q has to go, right?
Q's got to go. You got to go. I got to go. Everybody has to go.
Everybody's busy today.
Life.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
Life, baby.
Tell them, Steve Dave.